Over the last couple of nights, some of you have been in evening worship as Ronjo Clements and the bands have led us in worship, and he'll be with us leading different worship bands through the rest of Holiness Week, and we're grateful for Ronjo. One announcement this morning. You may have seen the last couple of days, Sigma Zeta has been set up outside the cafeteria doing a dollar drive for Dr. Duke Lee. And so the Science and Math Honor Society, Sigma Zeta, will continue to be there the next three lunch days. Dr. Lee has been hospitalized now for about 3 weeks, and so there are mounting financial needs for his family. So we really want to express our love and an expression of the holiness of our community by coming together and taking a chance to give towards that need. So whether it's a dollar or any spare change you have, look for Sigma Zeta there, and remember to keep the Lee family in prayer this week. Well, this is Wednesday morning, and this marks the middle of Holiness Week, and we are starting with a new speaker for the second half of Holiness Week. And you guys know that holiness is a word that's just as common around Asbury as Wesley or Tolkien or Lewis or Chapel or Sipo. But with all of this connection of the holiness word to Asbury, it's the connection of this word to Scripture that gets our attention. This character trait of God is so clear in his word, and his invitation is so visible that around Asbury, we've put this holiness word in very prominent places. Holiness unto the Lord. And as we see clearly that God is holy, we believe that he can shape us towards his nature to be holy as he is holy. And as you'll hear in the theme this week, to live holy as he is holy. The heritage of the Christian faith at Asbury and in this little stream that we are in teaches us that faith in Jesus Christ produces an inner holiness and an outward holiness in us. And that is holiness of heart and life. Our theme this week goes in a direction that you often request. What does this look like? What is holiness lived out, and how is it put into motion? We're grateful that Pastor Steve Shellen is here to help us see that and hear that this week. He's been a frequent speaker in chapel at Asbury because students have requested that he comes back again and again. And so he'll be preaching tonight at 7 p.m. and again tomorrow night at 7 and closing out this week with us on Friday. You still have a holiness program in front of you, and so you can read more about Pastor Shellen there. He's the pastor at Southland Community Church in Greenwood, Indiana, and he's also, cheers for Greenwood, Indiana, or the Hoosier State. Good, you guys are away. He's a graduate of Ohio Christian University and has also done graduate work at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School as well as Ohio University. He's married to Stephanie and they have two children, Meredith and Landon, and Meredith is sitting in the junior section. So let's welcome Meredith's dad, Steve Shellen, today to Holiness Week.
Well, it's great to be back with all of you. I don't know if you know this, but they send out a little a thing that tells us about all your backgrounds, where you all come from. And as Greg was talking about the idea of holiness, and I think about all your backgrounds, and I've got to sit here and try to, you know, bring all that together for all the different places you come from. And, you know, if I'm not Baptist, you know, then all the Baptists wonder, you know, if I'm eternally secure. And the Presbyterians are wondering if I'm chosen. And you know, the charismatics are wondering if I'm going to do my best dance illustration up here so you guys can all see a little Bruno Mars in front of you or something like that. But what's interesting is that I'm a pastor of an independent church, and so we've got all kinds of backgrounds, and in that we have to stay pretty committed or pretty focused on what the Bible says about holiness instead of just kind of telling you, you know, the same words that you've always heard. I mean, you're at a holiness college, I guess, and so you hear that word a lot, and it seems like a bar that's kind of above all of our heads. And so my goal is to help you realize that if the Bible tells us to be holy, that we probably ought to consider the reality of that and pursue that in our lives. Now, that's a great opening, right? You know, that great start. Oh, here we go. Holiness. Did you see what I did last night or last weekend? And now you're going to talk about holiness. Are you out of your stinking mind? Well, turn to Ephesians 4, both of you that brought your Bibles, and we're going to try our best to unpack that together. Basically, Ephesians is a letter from Paul to some really good friends of his, people he really admired, respected, and loved deeply. If you want to see them departing from each other for the last time, you can turn to Acts 20. Just don't do that now. Do that afterward when I know you'll be poring over the Bible. And he was writing a letter to encourage them, and he's in prison in Rome. And he's trying to help them understand that this whole message that we've been talking about for all these years together of being in a relationship with Christ actually should be lived out in your life. You should actually reflect the Holy Spirit that lives within you. That's what he's talking to him about. Not like the people who are Gentiles, or that word's used for people who aren't believers or who live in darkness, but you really should live like God wants you to live. And so he unpacks that in the beginning of chapter 4. He even uses the remaining part of the parchment there to say this to them: you need to live worthy of the calling you have received. Not like people who don't understand God, not like people who are pursuing everything toward wealth or status or physical pleasure, but really, you ought to be pursuing God. Now, that's what we're going to pick up now in verse 20. This is what we want to read together. And for those of you who don't have a Bible, we're going to have it up on the screen for you because, after all, you know, you live in 2014 and that's what you're used to anyway. 4:20. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So here's what he's saying, and I know you've heard this one or two times from preacher types like me, and even in your devotional time, and probably in your small groups when you're rubbing each other's backs. Here's the thing. If we're going to live like men and women who've experienced this whole new birth, who say we believe in Jesus, we have to get rid of the old way of thinking first. Thinking. See, if we're going to talk about the way we live, we first have to deal with the reality of our attitude in the way we think, because how we think is how we feel, and how we think and feel is ultimately how we behave. I brought something with me, actually. This is probably my favorite t-shirt. I love this t-shirt. I got this t-shirt on vacation one time, and it's an old, really old shirt. And I've played a lot of ball in this. You can see in the front, I get fouled all the time. And then just when they're old and you wash them and you dry them and the seams start to peel away, and it's a really bad shape, but I just can't let this bad boy go. And you guys got a favorite shirt, t-shirt you can't let go? I mean, there's no way I'm getting my nose anywhere near this thing, even after a washing, because it reeks. But I can't help it. I love it. I think I wear it on purpose because it reeks when I play basketball. That helps, perhaps. But the fact is, man, I love this thing. And I just don't want to let it go, no matter how bad it looks. And I think that's how it is sometimes in our lives, is that we have these old things that we're all about that we just don't want to let them go, which seems pretty bizarre in this generation. Now, here's what Paul said. Two little things. I mean, it's really basic. I didn't come here with rocket science today. I know all the physics majors are disappointed about that. I did not come with anything too complicated to understand. Here's basically what he says. Two things. The first one's this. We need to take off the old. Now, a lot of times we're taught in this whole idea of our Christian faith is that God's just going to deal with the old through his grace. When we come to accept Jesus, he puts the cardboard cutout of Jesus between us and him, and he can't see the reality of who we are anymore because we got Jesus in front of us. And I have trouble with that thought or mentality because all through the Bible, then he's telling us how to live. Clearly, he's observing our behavior. And he takes note of it, and he's concerned about it. The love of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the grace of Jesus is a whole lot of trouble for God to go to just to leave us in this sorry state, isn't it? That's why he tells us this shouldn't just make a difference in your life for eternity. This ought to make a difference in your life right now. And so we have this opportunity, he says, to take off the old. Now, it's interesting to me, if there was ever anything in the Bible that ought to fire you up in your generation, it's this whole idea of take off the old. I mean, our generation can't wait for the next thing. Isn't that right? I mean, I want to see the next styles of clothes. I want to see the next thing coming out in technology. I want to hear the latest music. I need a new boyfriend or girlfriend. I mean, it's just like, you know, assembly line. Give me the new. I want the new. And it's like we can't enjoy anything now because we know something's coming out tomorrow that we're going to want even more, right? Been there? Okay, clearly I'm the only one, or you're asleep already, which is awesome. See, we should love this message in our generation. This whole message of holiness is about getting rid of old stuff. Down with that. Verse 22, did you see what he said? You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its evil desires. Actually, you got to back up a little bit to verse 17 to really understand where he's going with this. Here's what he said there. I tell you this and insist on it. I actually capitalized that in my Bible. I insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. That doesn't sound like cardboard cut out of Jesus. We don't live like we used to live. We don't think and do like the rest of the world thinks and does. We're different. You see, those Gentiles, those unbelievers, they didn't get it. It says that because they're darkened in their understanding. That's not you who've come to believe in Jesus and his forgiveness. Their unbelief and ignorance keeps them from choosing God and choosing his way of living, choosing to live the way they were designed to live by their Creator. Now, people who refuse to believe and refuse to choose the life as designed for them become hard toward his commands. In other words, here they are, they like the old. It seems bizarre, doesn't it? I mean, your generation all about being new all the time, and yet we find out that they really want to hang on to a lot of the old ways of living. And as a result, they put a barrier up between themselves and this whole idea of what God wants for them. They can't do anything about it. And Paul even says it. I mean, do you think this is a 2,000-year-old message? And yet, here's what he says. Get this. They need to put aside these things. You tell me this isn't relevant. Put away sensuality, impurity, and greed. Put those things away. Now, I don't know. I know it's quite a few years since this was written, but I'm pretty sure those things are still relevant today. I don't know. You guys go talk about it in your small group. He actually gives a whole list of other things, though, that he's dealing with as well later on in the message. Here's some: lying, anger, bitterness, stealing, obscenity. This never happens. Coarse joking, brawling, slander, malice, sexual immorality, idolatry, drunkenness. That's a honking huge list, isn't it? And that's stuff that we all battle with every day. He gets it. And it's interesting, you can go see some more things in the list later on in chapter 4, also into chapter 5. I mean, he says the reality is the pressure is great on all of us. Not just because those things are tempting, because man, they are. But also because we're bringing a lot of baggage into this whole life. And we've developed attitudes that are oftentimes formed by pain and disappointment, hurt, rebellion. I mean, things people have done to us, people we trusted, people we loved. And we bring all of that in, and then we're trying to interpret the world through that filter, and all that temptation comes, and man, we just have trouble figuring this whole thing out. And then he says, these things, look, are part of your former life. Before you got healed, before you got forgiven, before you were redeemed. Those things are all part of the way you used to think and you used to live. Get rid of them, he says. Take them off. Now, I know you're sitting there and saying, yeah, that's really easy for you to say because you're, you know, a staunchy preacher type. Well, I'm a human being. And, I mean, I was young once, about 5,000 hairs ago. I was really young. But I'm telling you, the reality is, he says, put off the old self. It can be done. We can target these temptations and these realities of failure in our life. And we don't have to live our lives every day in perpetual failure. That's the whole meaning, purpose of holiness. We can live day after day after day because the Holy Spirit is within us, cleansing us, helping us put off the old to live a new way. It's 3:18, if you were to back up even further in this, press rewind to there. It references their darkened understanding of it all. And actually, Jesus talked about this when he was around, and Paul picked up that lesson from the disciples. In John chapter 3, verse 19, you can see it again on the screen. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. See, Jesus is saying, you don't have to live in darkness. The darkness of your world that's so full of disappointment in others, and honestly, probably one or two of you have even been disappointed in yourself. He's saying, you can put that off. What happens, though, is that believers can be deceived. Deceived into believing that somehow you can find pleasure or purpose or contentment or fulfillment or healing if you could just get your next pleasure fix. Just get more stuff. Just have a few more friends or fame. We don't realize that that's all so empty and it doesn't leave us walking with God. Verse 20, here's what he said. That's not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ. You see, men and women, you don't come to Asbury or go to church or pick up your Bible just to learn about Jesus. No, you're trying to embrace him, experience him, encounter him. You're trying to realize that he comes into your life with his very presence through the Holy Spirit. And he says that's the point where you need to take it all away. And so this clothing analogy is pretty interesting that he uses here, the whole idea of putting off and putting on, because do you realize what he's talking about is really significant? These people that he was writing to did not have a closet like yours. Nowhere near that. They pretty much had one outfit, and they wore it every day. I can you imagine going through life wearing the same outfit? Some of you don't want to be seen in the same outfit that you wore last month. And these people had one outfit, basically. They kept it clean. They did their best. And they wore it till it wore out. I mean, you couldn't wear it anymore. It looked like a t-shirt. And then they would, you know, over that time, they would prepare another one and they'd put it on. And so the idea he's talking about here is take off that old, worn-out garment that just doesn't work anymore, not because it doesn't work in style, but because it's not covering half your body, and put on the new thing that you've created. That's what he's saying there. You know, I really get intrigued at the mall. I mean, it's pretty amazing to me how many choices we have at the mall. And it's really hard for an old fat guy like me, because when you go, all of the mannequins at Hollister are anatomically correct and look nothing like me. And not only that, if I go into Hollister, people look at me like, what is that guy doing in here? Because, you know, you say that, you say, wow, you dress really old. I mean, you have like pleats in your pants. What's up with that? And all that kind of stuff. And then I say, but if I put on something current or modern, then all the young people say, look at that old guy trying to look like he's young. You can't win at my age. You just can't win. And the whole idea is that I'm supposed to put on something new and fresh and exciting. Just be yourself. Just be yourself is the reality of it. And here's Paul looking at people who, that's all they have is themselves. That's themselves every single day. And the analogy is, get rid of that. take off the old and put on the new. Now, here's the thing I'm trying to get across, verse 24, and I hope you're grabbing it. Put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Now, I'm not making this up. You know, I'm not just some guy that comes out of, 1897 camp meeting that's slinging this at you today. I mean, this is in there. He said this. For those who would believe, these wonderful Ephesian Christians, he's saying this. You need to be created, recognize you're created like God for righteousness and holiness, and that's the new garment that you ought to be putting on. Wow. Since you didn't stay in darkness, since you aren't ignorant or lacking understanding like the Gentiles around you, since you're no longer separated from God because your hearts have been changed, redeemed, forgiven, you are not hard, you are not conformed, you are to be made into his image. You're to put on the new. Now, it's interesting, if you looked at this in the original language, I don't know if the Greek profs are in here or not, so you can correct me afterwards if I'm wrong, but I think I'm right. Put off and put on are once for all. That's the whole language idea here, is that when you take it off, you're taking it off forever. And when you're putting it on, you're putting it on forever, a completed act. And so you make the decision, and this is really the question that I have for you, all who call yourself believers in this room today, you make the decision to abandon your old worldview. To abandon your old world life. And you take on a new way of thinking, a new attitude toward life. I mean, that's really what should be happening. And I know you're sitting there by yourself in your own little world. That's the most private place to be, in your own mind. And you're saying you have no idea how difficult that is. And I know it is extremely difficult. That's why Paul's explaining it to us. It's interesting, though, if you go on in verse 23, and let's get this here. To be made new in the attitude of your minds is a continuous action verb. You put off the old, you put on the new, now and forever, completed act, and then you're being renewed, it says, or being made new on a daily basis in your mind. It's like getting a new attitude outfit every single day. Doesn't that rock? New outfit every day. You're welcome, girls. The attitude of your minds can be refreshed, conformed to God's image every day. Now, let's remember what we said earlier. Ultimately, our attitudes, our action, determine our actions or our influence our decisions. We got to come at this with the right way of thinking, because how you think is how you feel, and how you think and feel is ultimately how you behave. Now, some say, I no longer do these things that I did in darkness. And then they begin to share their list of the things that they've repented of and turned from. And that's awesome. That's what should happen. But listen, the real evidence of a transformed attitude or spirit goes much deeper than what we can see just in some of those exterior behaviors that we talk about. I don't do this anymore. I don't drink, smoke, cuss, chew, date girls that do, that whole thing. But he also talks about the things we can't see in his list, like anger and bitterness and greed, because ultimately those things don't show up all the time outwardly. They take longer to reveal themselves. And so he begins to make this new list as well. This is what you have the opportunity to look like: encouragement, kindness, compassion, forgiveness, love, and thanksgiving. I mean, every one of these could be a sermon. Goodness, righteousness, truth. You sing to the Lord. Some of you better than others, but you sing to the Lord. Notice this list is not only a list of actions, but a list of character qualities, attitudes, the spirit of your mind. And so, yeah, if your public persona, it looks perfect to the rest of the world, rock on, that's great. But what about what's going on deep inside your heart? Verse 24 again. You're created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. That's what you were designed for. You're never going to feel fulfilled. You're always going to feel like you're falling short unless you embrace the character and nature of God by receiving the cleansing and filling of his Holy Spirit. I mean, that's just the reality of this, because that's what you were created to know. That's what you were created to experience. That's how you were created to live. Later on in chapter 6, actually, of Ephesians, he tells us that we're going to be actually living in this spiritual battle. We spend so much time focused on this physical dimension that we all touch, see, taste, smell, you know, that whole reality, that we forget so often that we are also existing in a spiritual dimension. And we ignore it and we forget it and we don't take it seriously. And Paul says that. Do you realize that your battle every day is not just with flesh and blood? Man, you're battling every day with the spiritual world. And I'm going to tell you something, men and women. You cannot win that spiritual battle, overcome temptation, live a victorious life without being filled with, empowered by the armor of God and the Holy Spirit. You can't do it. You got about as much chance of being a Denver Bronco with the Legion of Boom. You have no chance. No chance. If you go out there without God's Spirit being your power and strength, every day having him cleanse you and renew your mind. I'm looking at this thing. I love this thing. But you guys, I think it's time. I mean, don't you? Look at that piece of trash. Yeah. Ooh. It's time. Greg, can you help me out here? No, I don't know. I love this shirt. But it's time. I told him to hold it up like Simba. Look, guys. I mean, there's stuff, and you know what it is. It's you in your own little world, and God's Spirit convicts you of it. He reminds you of it. He shows you. He shows you not just the physical sin in your life that everybody can see, or at least you could see outwardly, but he's also showing you the attitudes of hate and the attitudes of unforgiveness and bitterness and anger that you're holding secretly to yourself. And he's saying, get rid of that. Man, you're missing so much of what I have for you. You're totally missing the way I've designed you. It's time to start by putting off the old attitude. And this is what he promises. He's not just saying, you know, yeah, take off the old attitude, you stinking thinker. He's saying, and I'm going to give you a new spirit, a new heart. See, we want to do heart surgery, and we kind of want to hang on to it and kind of fix it. No. He's saying, rip open the very person that you are. Take that old heart out that's damaged and broken, and give it to me, and I'm going to give you a brand new heart. But it starts with you saying, that's what I want. That's what I need to do. That's the choice that I make. A new attitude, a new spirit. God, here I am, taking off the old. Come on, give me the new. Would you bow your heads? Lord Jesus, today in this room, it's time. Men and women in this room today need to take off the old. I know in their hearts they're so frustrated with themselves as they daily lose these battles because they're not entrusting all of their heart and life to you and your Spirit. God, I pray you'd help them right now. It's embarrassing. It's sometimes because they know the junk is there and they've got to give it up. I pray that you'll help them get past all of that. Take away the fear, the pride, and help them right now to humble themselves before you. Take off the old and receive the greatness that is your design for their life. What about you? Is it time for you to take off the old? Time for you to put on the new that he designed for you from the very beginning. As quietly as you can with these seats, let's stand. just quietly. Keep your head bowed. This is a place of prayer. This is a place to lay it down, whatever your old nasty t-shirt looks like in terms of your life and spirit. As we sing together, bring it. Bring the old. Take it off right here and put it before God and receive the new spirit of life, the new attitude that He has for you. We're going to sing, but more importantly, I pray you will respond to God's Spirit today.